Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Last time when we were together, we talked through the biblical reality of missionary calling. We took some time to dig into the scriptures to see what they had to say about how we are called out and set apart for the work of the gospel and taking the gospel to unreached people groups. So today we are joined by a good friend of ours and a coworker from South Asia, Anna. And so we've known Anna for several years. She, like us, is also a small town girl from the Midwest. She served in South Asia for the past 6 years, most recently in a large city, focusing her work on reaching Muslims. Anna, welcome. Glad to have you today.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk about this.
We are so excited to have you with us. I loved being able to hear you share about your calling recently at a mobilization event we got to do together. After that event, Jesse and I thought we would love for our listeners to be able to hear from you. So share with everyone a bit more about yourself and how God initially called you to missions.
So like Jesse mentioned, I've been on the field for about 6 years, but I want to take you back kind of more than just 6 years, take you back about 10 years. At that time, I was in my mid-20s and working at a hospital here, actually not far from where we're recording this podcast, and loving my life and loving my job. I was a committed follower of Jesus Christ, but all of us are called to be his ambassadors, compelling other people to be reconciled with Christ. And so, you know, I was doing that in my local community and in my local context and experiencing kind of just the joy that we have and the privilege we have as Christ followers to share that message with other people. And it was in this season that I was walking closely with the Lord, kind of also for the first time in my life, really taking that responsibility to be a disciple maker seriously and taking just the not responsibility, but just this privilege we have to draw near to God and fellowship with him, experiencing the joy of his presence intimately in my life day by day, experiencing that really for the first time in my life. And it was during this season that I started to notice kind of a change and a shift, like recognizing I had a love for the nations previously, right? Like, and wanted to and was passionate about seeing other people come to know and worship Christ. But I never necessarily thought, well, just because I love the nations, I should go to the nations. But it was in this period of time where the Lord just started to slowly shift my heart and shift my focus and kind of change the trajectory of my life. And it was kind of subtle at first, right? It started with a growing desire to go, which was really different for me because I, like Jesse said, I'm from a small town and I love the Midwest. Midwest is best and the farm and all of this stuff was really rooted in my life here. And so for me to want to go someplace else, say goodbye to my family and my faith family and a job and a career that I love, when those desires started kind of pricking up in my heart, that was kind of the first, you know, like spidey sense, if you will. I mean, it was the spirit, but like, huh, I should maybe pay attention to that because that's not really normal for me. That's outside of a normal preference, something that I, you know, Anna would normally choose would just be to plant my life here. So the fact that my interest and my desire is starting to shift more to an overseas context or a cross-cultural context, I took as a sign that that was the spirit working and moving in my life. I could recognize that this was the spirit's working in my life because I had put myself by his grace. I had learned and cultivated being in a posture and a position to hear from him, to hear and recognize the spirit's voice, the teacher say, you know, to the right or to the left. Mm-hmm. He didn't write anything on a wall. I had no dream of a Macedonian man, but it was just over time as I put myself at the master's feet and I soaked myself in the word and learned to he taught me to recognize his voice and his leading, and that in that season, I could confidently say, yeah, I think this is the Lord changing my desire and what I want to do. Say it started with like an abiding life. And then as I noticed my desire and an interest, not just to see the lost or not just to see the nations come to know him, but to be an active part of that in like a cross-cultural context. Once that desire started to grow, that really kind of made me kind of sit up straight and pay attention. Mm-hmm. Pretty quickly, as I started to notice those desires shift or that interest shift, I invited others to pray with me and pray for me. I started telling them, you know, like, hey, I think God is doing something here. I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but will you pray for me? And no one told me, hey, go and ask your church to pray for you, or you should. But that's just good, like, for any of us, right? When we're making big life decisions, mm-hmm. or when yep. we're considering a change, that's just good. I don't get my hair cut without asking like 12 different people if they think it's a good idea. You know what I mean? So yeah. surely if I'm about to like uproot my life and move to, you know, at that time I thought some hut somewhere in the village, then I should get, you know, other people's opinion on this. I really quickly began talking to people who knew me well, people who were committed to prayer, and people who had shown a commitment to missions. So even thanks rural church, like we don't have like a huge M budget. We don't have an M pastor on staff, right? But these were the people who had taught me about the nations, right? Like these were the people who showed me what it looks like to love the lost, and who showed me in the word that this is God's heart, that he would fill, you know, the whole earth with a knowledge of his glory, and that he would bring many people from every nation, tribe, people, and language. So lest anyone think, oh, I don't go to a big church and they don't know anything about sending people out. Are they committed to prayer? Like, will they pray for you? Do they know you and love you? And have they exhibited like a love for the lost? Like, to me, that was enough. They, you know, started praying with me and also were affirming, you know, different things that they saw in me that they felt like was the Spirit's leading and the Spirit's equipping for this kind of work. So I would say early on, that was a really important step and something that the Lord used in that process to confirm and then send me out. It's probably, honestly, maybe 18 months to 2 years that I was mulling this over and thinking about it. So there was no, you know, major moment. And so early on, there wasn't any, okay, go here, this place, this organization, this people group. I didn't have any type of leading from the Spirit that way. I think God can work that way. I've heard testimony of other coworkers, and I think, you know, we see it in scripture as well, where he can give clear directive to go to this place and these people, but I didn't receive any of that. So here I am trying to seek the Lord and what he would have me do, but not getting any type of definitive, go to this place, these people at this time. So as I'm abiding and as I'm walking in community with people and trying to make this decision in community, the Lord also kind of impressed upon my heart the need to be ready. Like, yeah, I didn't know where I was going to go or what that would look like, but there were some practical steps that I could take so that when that became clear, that I was ready. So part of that was paying down debt. Like I had some student loan debt, not a ton, but I thought I want to get that off my back so that when the Lord says, okay, makes these things clear, I'm ready. So that also meant changing jobs. I was working in a hospital doing like cardiac care, people who'd had massive heart attacks or were having open heart surgery. And I just remember thinking to myself, am I going to be doing this in the village? Again, I wasn't necessarily thinking I was called to a village, but that was just in my mind. Is there a job or, you know, is there a field of nursing that might translate better, that maybe the skills could be more applicable or could be used somehow in a cross-cultural context? So I sought out a job in community health and like public health. And then also the other thing I did, which I was loath to do at the time, but was really good, was I moved home with my parents. I said, I'm going to move home in part so that I can spend time with my parents, because I recognize if I'm about to make a big shift to the other side of the world, I want to love them well before I go. And I also want to save a little bit of money and not be in the middle of a lease. So those were just some practical steps that I took.
And also a very millennial thing to do. Move back with your parents, right?
Yes. Well, I would just like good to job. Say, I'm not a millennial, but maybe. I was Gen Y. I don't know what happened. Like the millennials ate us up.
So within that, you talked about your profession at the time. You were nursing. Talk a little bit about the role that you saw at the time that your nursing and your background, your professional background would play potentially in you being sent out and even what you would do on the field.
Initially, my career was like a big thing for me to let go, because you just spent all this time and money, at school, and then 4 years after school, like cultivating skills and building a resume. And I just thought, if I stop this now, will I ever be able to restart? What if I come back? You know, what if it's a major flop and I come back and somebody has to rehire me? These were all questions that in that 18-month time period, I was wrestling with and had to really surrender and kind of open my hands to the Lord and say, okay, I believe you're calling me to go. I believe you've given me these skills and this background for a reason that you might want to use them. As I was abiding and walking with the Lord, I did have a sense at that time, as different scriptures that were, he was just like bringing it home to me, was that maybe I was to use these skills, like my nursing skills overseas. Mm-hmm. And so when I started to talk to different people about places to work overseas, I was specifically asking for what kind of opportunities might you have for a nurse or for someone to use this type of background to further the work, to be a part of kingdom work. And the Lord provided those opportunities. And I think my first couple of years on the field, he, you know, that was entirely what he was leading me to do. Mm-hmm. But I would say my understanding of that has shifted a little bit. Early on, I had a real passion and a desire to use that. And I felt strongly that those skills and that background was part of his equipping me for that work. Then over time on the field, some really faithful brothers and sisters and also some good study in the Word just kind of helped clarify for me what is the primary M task. And as long as these other things, this type of community development projects that I was doing, so as long as they were leading to and facilitating the right things, then great. Because like there's tons of scriptural mandate about compassion and mercy and healing. Like we see that and we see Jesus doing that. But I think when I first came out, I maybe had them mixed up a little bit in my mind. And so over time on the field, the Lord was just really gracious through some really faithful brothers and sisters. And then through my own study of the Word and then just seeing people, the mass of humanity that need the gospel. Yeah. And so where those things were going to facilitate getting the gospel to people faster, then yeah, I wanted to be a part of them. But over time for me, I just felt like, I can get right to the gospel. Let me get right to the main thing. Now, I still use my background in some ways as far as like platforming, but it's not a part of my everyday life overseas anymore. But one thing just in the whole scope of nursing or career, I guess I would say, is that the Lord was really gracious in that period before I went overseas and then overseas, and continually is teaching me that my identity is not as a nurse. Mm. And my identity is, or my calling is not even primarily as a sent out one or as an M. My first calling is to him and to be his. And so he kind of stripped away some of that pride and that sense of identity that I had in my career. Like in being a cross-cultural worker, the tendency might be to fix my identity in that. But just to remember, like my primary calling is to him, is to salvation. And to be, I think Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, like called into fellowship with the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Like that's my primary calling. In all of this, I wouldn't trade the process. I wouldn't trade what he's taught me and the sweetness and the intimacy of communion and fellowship with the Father that has come out of me wrestling with these different things, whether it's my career or my singleness. You know, like, wait, God, you're asking me to go all by myself? That seems, I mean, even the animals got to go onto the ark 2x2. You know what I mean? I'm happy to be Priscilla. Send me an Aquila. So right. I'm just saying, like, in all of these things, the Lord has been so gracious to, like, show me more of who he is. And he's been so patient. And so these are things that I would not sacrifice for, like, a writing on the wall type of moment.
That's really helpful. I'm really glad you shared all that. I think even though Jesse and I didn't have such a particular background, we didn't have a medical field, I think we can relate to a lot of what you were sharing. And I think a lot of missionaries go through some of those same thinking and how do I use my gifts on the field? And then a lot of times we just see the lostness and want to do whatever we can to get the gospel to people. And so sometimes those gifts don't seem as important as they did at the beginning.
Right.
Okay. I'm also wondering, because you've been on the field now for 6 years, we go through ups and downs on the field, different things in our lives can change. So how has your thinking on your calling remained steadfast over the years?
I can look back over the time and see different memorial pillars, things that have happened or the way the Lord has moved to speak and to confirm that, yes, I am, you know, in the place where he would have me to be, doing the things that he would have me to do. When I first kind of went out, or sometimes you still hear people a lot talk about, remember your calling, like on those hard days when you want to quit and go home, like that's, you just got to think about your calling. And yeah, I was thinking more like one day, one time, one like mystical moment that I had, you know, kind of in the same way sometimes people used to say, well, you walked an aisle and you shaked somebody's hand, right. You know, like, oh, I don't think that's how they meant it, but that's how I was like receiving it. So for me, it was like, well, I don't have this one magic moment. So here I am in the rough of it in like nowhere South Asia, and I have nothing to like hold on to. The Lord totally changed my idea of what it means, like, to remember your calling. Like I said, one, just remember first that it's to him. But two, it was in that every day. I'm seeking the Lord every day. And it's not just looking back to say, did he send me here? But it's today, Lord, how would you have me be faithful and obedient to what you're asking me to do today? As I've sought the Lord by his grace, and not like, I don't want to give anyone the impression that Anna's having some kind of like rock star quiet times every day, all day, but I'm just hearing his voice and putting yourself, right at his feet. My desire to do this work has only grown. So even some of those first things that we've talked about, you know, that I shared as far as like a desire and like affirmation from my community, both of those things are still there. And the desire has only grown as I've seen the need, as I've been privileged to be a part and see what God is doing there. And then the community, still my sending church, my faith family at home affirms that. But now also I have brothers and sisters in Christ, co-workers on the field who are also constantly speaking into that and affirming that calling and saying, like, we see this in you and we see the Spirit's leading and equipping this way. So some of those same things that were there in the beginning are still there, and in some ways even more intensified.
That's great. Yeah, I think we would, that'd be a similar experience for us. I feel like our calling has also grown while we're on the field. And I promise it wasn't prompted, all the overlap between what she is sharing and the Bible study that we did last week. You just see all the biblical truths come out of that, right? That ambition that grows, the affirmation from the community, her engagement in disciple making where she was before she went, and how that has just grown over time. So Anna, what would you share with listeners who are wondering if they are called or not? Maybe they're at that stage that you were initially, struggling with some of those questions. What would you say to them?
I think one thing I would say is don't stress. Pressure and stress, that's not from the Lord. Relax a little bit, lean back and enjoy the process. Because whether you wind up someplace overseas in that, you know, proverbial hut that we all talk about or not, this whole thing is a means of God's grace in your life, you know, meant to conform you and shape you more and more into the image of Christ. So lean into him and lean into the process. And don't, I think I was at times too fixated on the end goal, as if like once my feet touch down in South Asia, then it's, you know, I have arrived. I don't think that's necessarily the posture that the Lord wanted me to take. Put yourself in a position to hear and recognize his voice. And then rest in the sovereignty of God. I think I was also, because I was so fixated on the end goal, and it's good also to be urgent, right, about the task. You know, we talk about just even the enormity of lostness in the South Asian context where we work. It is devastating. It is. And so I think the tendency might be, I got to get there. Come on, the task is urgent. And it is. And God, you know, like we see in scripture, this is, he's going to work through his church and through his children to proclaim, you know, the message of Christ. But just remember that ultimately it's on him. Like he is essential. Be still and know that I am God. He says, I will be exalted among the nations. Mm-hmm. I think just to rest in his sovereignty and know he is in control of everything, the bringing in his children from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And he's in control of what's going on in your life. He's in control of what's going on in your kids' life, in your parents' life, who are going to be left here. And just remember, God is doing like a billion things at once, more than a billion. And we know like one or two. and just rest that he's trust and rest that he's in control and he's going to finish the work both in you that he's began. He's committed to that work and he's also totally committed to that Revelation 7:9 mm-hmm. vision. And so that helps us, right? Take the stress and the anxiety off is knowing God's totally in control of this.
That's awesome. And just for clarity's sake, do you now or have you ever actually lived in a grass hut?
No!
Maybe you should clarify that, right?
I mean, I had some solid homestays where there were, you know, barnyard creatures sleeping with me. But no, I've never actually...
But normally, pretty nice apartment, city in South Asia, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah, no hut for us either. Okay, can I ask a surprise question?
Yes, please.
Something that we have really become passionate about in the last few years is helping to equip every single member of a team, every believer, to be involved in the work and to know their role, and even for team leaders to know, how can I best encourage people of different seasons of life? So just give us a little help as team leaders and as team members. How can we better serve singles on our team?
That is a great question. I have seen this in you guys, like the intentionality to ask. I don't know that I speak for all single women or men, I don't know. But I think one thing is just the word be intentional with them, to invite them into your home or to have them in your mind. That might sound silly, but sometimes I'm like, does anyone even know I'm here? You know, so when a brother, when a Jesse says, hey, I've got this training, or there's this pastor, brother, sir, that I'd like to introduce you to, or I think it might be a good opportunity, or just come with me. Like, that means a lot. That vote of confidence from a brother, or just that someone is remembering you, because I think loneliness is real on the field, whether you're single or married. So I don't want to say single loneliness is different, because everyone experiences loneliness on the field. But there is this, like, this sense sometimes, and the devil will come against, you know, one of these lies is that you are alone. And so to have team who is intentional in reaching out for fun things and just to do life and family, but also for work and ministry things, for people to call you up and not me not constantly have to invite myself, which I'm fine doing and I do. But there does come a point where you're like, don't want to do that anymore. So it's good when people call you up. So that's intentionality, I guess, is the word I would use.
That's good.
Well, good. Thanks for sharing that. We've had a lot of conversations about that that I've loved. And I'm just really thankful for your friendship and for your openness and sharing your story with us. I really think it'll be an encouragement. So I hope that the listeners out there who are wondering if they're called will feel some encouragement to abide in Christ and to just pursue him daily and trust him to guide them. And I think this will be helpful for other missionaries like us who are working hard to mobilize more workers. So thanks for sharing.
Well, thanks for having me. It was really good for me, but it was a good exercise for me to even think through, how did the Lord work and how did I see his grace at work in my life in that time?
It's great.
It's always encouraging to think back on how God called us.
Yeah, that's right. Anna, thanks so much.
Yeah.
Enjoy the time together.